Today is the 19th day of May. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and I am grateful to be here with you today, as I'm grateful to be here every day. I hope we are all grateful to be here, to have this place to be, and to take our next step forward on this grand adventure that the Bible is. We've moved from the first of the year all the way to this point, Genesis, all the way to where we are, the book of 1 Samuel. And today, chapters 24 and 25. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, "David is in the desert of En-Gedi." So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord, the king." When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say, 'David is bent on harming you'? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not lay my hand on my Lord, because he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. See that there is nothing in my hand to indicate that I am guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me. But my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, from evildoers come evil deeds. So my hand will not touch you. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Who are you pursuing? A dead dog? A flea? May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand." When David finished saying this, Saul asked, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And he wept aloud. "You are more righteous than I," he said. "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family." So David gave his oath to Saul, and Saul returned home. But David and his men went up to the stronghold. Now, Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Paran. A certain man in Maon, who had property there at Carmel, was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite. While David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, "Go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, 'Long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them, and the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you. Therefore be favorable toward my men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them.'" When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name, and they waited. Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?" David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. David said to his men, "Each of you strap on your sword." So they did, and David strapped his on as well. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day they were a wall around us. The whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisin, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. As she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending toward her, and she met them. David had just said, "It's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness, so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive 1 male of all who belong to him." When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "Pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my lord sent. And now, my lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives, and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my lord be like Nabal. And let this gift, which your servant has brought to my lord, be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord, because you fight the Lord's battles, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised concerning him, and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my Lord success, remember your servant. David said to Abigail, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak." Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, "Go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request." When Abigail went to Nabal, he was in the house holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until daybreak. Then, in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things. And his heart failed him, and he became like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Praise be to the Lord who has upheld my cause against Nabal, for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head." Then David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. His servants went to Carmel and said to Abigail, "David has sent us to take you to become his wife." She bowed down with her face to the ground and said, "I am your servant and am ready to serve you and wash the feet of my Lord's servants." Abigail quickly got on a donkey and, attended by her 5 female servants, went with David's messengers and became his wife. David had also married Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both were his wives. But Saul had given his daughter Michal, David's wife, to Paltiel, son of Laish, was from Galim. John 10, 22 through 42. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" We are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law? I have said, You are gods. If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. And Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, Though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place many believed in Jesus. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. And I called on the name of the Lord, Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death. My eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm I said, Everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 15, 20, and 21. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly brings joy to one who has no sense, but whoever has understanding keeps a straight course. All right, so David spares the king. In our reading from the Old Testament today in 1 Samuel. In his crazy, paranoid state and pursuit, Saul has tracked David to En-Gedi. En-Gedi is a natural oasis in the desert near the Dead Sea, the lowest point on earth, fresh water. He was hoping to find him and capture him and kill him. In the oasis of En-Gedi, which means spring of the young goat, En-Gedi is in the Song of Solomon. This is a freshwater source in a very arid desert. and the hills are pocked with hundreds of caves all over that area. Not too far, like just down the road from there, are the caves at Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. There's caves all over the place, but En-Gedi is a specific little kind of ravine with a lot of caves. But there's water, fresh water. There's a waterfall there. Not a big one, but fresh water in the middle of the desert is fresh water. So the king is, you know, has been tipped to where David is, and they're looking for him. And the king is out there, and he needs a little privacy. It's fascinating, because he's out with the army, so if he needs a little privacy to relieve himself, well, then he needs a little privacy to relieve himself. So as he is taking this privacy and relieving himself in the cave, David and his men are in the cave. And so David creeps up toward him. Rather than killing him, he cuts a swatch of cloth from the king's robe. It could have been over. Like, he could have just... Very quickly, the end of Saul. When the king left the cave, David revealed himself with proof that he could have killed him. Easy. Which temporarily brings Saul back to his senses and gives David... Like, David doesn't rest in this piece. He goes back to his stronghold. But it does... there is a minute of reprieve here. And then in the Gospel of John, people are wanting Jesus to very specifically and plainly tell whether or not he was the Messiah. He's back on the other side of the Jordan River now, where John was baptizing. That is in the modern country of Jordan at this point. And there is so much archaeology around that side of, on that side of the Jordan River, that it's remarkable to commemorate all of these events. So they want to know plainly. And he's like, I've told you, and you don't believe me. But the proof is in the work I do, in my Father's name. The Father and I are one. That has stones being picked up to kill him. At my Father's direction, I have done many good works. Which one of those are you trying to stone me for? But it wasn't good works. It was his claim to be one with the Father. That, if it's not true, is totally blasphemy. To elevate someone or something to the level of God is blasphemy. And so Jesus, if he's not telling the truth, is guilty of blasphemy by, you know, claiming to be the Son of God. So Jesus' response is interesting. Rather than offering them a sign, which, man, it just seems like he just never takes the easy way. He could have just proved himself. But he took the issue down to the core, like he always did. He says, it's written in your own scriptures that God said to certain leaders of the people, I say you are gods. And you know that the scriptures can't be altered. So if those people who received God's message were called gods, why do you call it blasphemy when I say I'm the Son of God? After all, the Father set me apart and sent me into the world. Don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. But if I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I have done. Even if you don't believe me, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. So the powerful and disruptive awakening for us happens when we consider what being Christ-like really means. This same animating life force, Spirit of God, that was within Jesus is also within us. According to Paul's letter to the Romans, because of Jesus, we can literally make the same claim he did. We are sons of God. We are daughters of God. Paul makes it pretty clear that we can go right into his presence and say, Abba. We can say, Father. He has set us apart and sent us into the world to carry out his good work, to do good works. And we know and proclaim that. But we don't often consider what we're saying. So maybe let's take some time to sit with the idea, the reality, the implications of truly being God's child. Like, what would that change? Holy Spirit, we certainly invite you into that, because it's what we believe to be true reality, and so often we're not shaping anything around that reality. And yet that reality gives us identity that cannot be taken away from us. Identity that we give ourselves away so cheap to get fake versions of. So help us to contemplate this. Help us to consider that we have been made children of God. That should change everything. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are our home base. They are all brand new. We're all moving into our 2.0 platform and app, and grateful for all of the feedback and all of the ways that we've been able to stabilize. Grateful for all of the tremendous gratitude and feedback for the effort it has taken to kind of pull us forward and integrate us more deeply with our journey through the scriptures and our journey through a year together in life. So thank you. I have been sharing. I guess this is probably where I'll... It's probably be the last time, I think. About the new Daily Audio Bible shop. And specifically the Daily Audio Bible Coffee Club, which we've had for years. Wind Farm Coffee has been a part of the DNA of Daily Audio Bible most of the years of Daily Audio Bible. I'm a coffee lover. I'm a tea lover. Like, I'm a warm beverage lover, and it's a part of my day, every day that I'm here around the global campfire. So that just kind of grew from way, way, way back. And we've had Wind Farm Coffee for a long time. We've had a Wind Farm Coffee Club for a long time, where we roast and ship very fresh coffee to wherever you are in the world. With this brand new system, we have a brand new subscription platform and ability. So come and get fresh coffee or freshly sourced specialty tea sent to you each month. However much you drink, however much you will need. And we will send it to you. If you subscribe to the new platform... for a year. If you pay for a year, we will send you free a Daily Audio Bible 20th Anniversary Edition clean canteen. This is not a small thing. This is a very significant thing. The best thing I have ever drank coffee or tea out of. And I've been drinking a clean canteen for 15 years or more. And we've been having them for probably about that long. They're very popular around here. So this is a 20th year edition marigold and black We had Marigold in Black last year when we were doing the 20th year anniversary. This is similar, but the design of the 20, it's a little different. They're exclusive. It's a little different. And only here for this subscription. So check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the Global Campfire is a safe place, place to heal, place to repair, place to find direction, a place to get clarity, place to let God speak through the scriptures, let the scriptures speak on behalf of themselves. If that is life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, where the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, DAB family. This prayer request goes out to Valerie, who called in. She's lost her son a couple of years ago, and she is still experiencing so much grief. Oh, sweet sister Valerie, a mother's love and grief has no timeline. So please don't be hard on yourself. So, Father, we just come to you. We lift Valerie up to your throne. Father, we ask that when this grief and pain becomes so unbearable, Father God, that you just present yourself to her. Let her know that you were there. Surround her in your arms in the name of Jesus. Just hold her close to you, Father God. Father God, we know that everyone's grief is different. And we are here for you, Valerie. We love you. And we grieve with you too. We feel that loss. We feel the pain that you feel, even though it's not our own. So, sweet sister, in the name of Jesus, we pray for you and we pray for your comfort and God's love to surround you each and every day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, grant us the profound wisdom to look beyond outward appearances and truly see the heart as you do. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit today, guiding our thoughts and actions. May your divine love so overflow within us that it spills out onto everyone we encounter. Help us, Father, to always perceive the inherent good in all those around us, even when it is hidden from the world's view. Soften our hearts to extend grace and understanding, reflecting your boundless compassion. We pray for eyes that see with your love and hearts that judge with your mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. It's this blessed one in AZ. It's May 15th, Friday, and I just heard a message on today's reading from Valerie from Arkansas. She spoke about her son Ben passing away in 2024 and how she's having a hard time with grief. Valerie, I just want to let you know, I do not know how you feel, but I am here with you, and Jesus is with you. I know right now that you're feeling only loss, and I was thinking I was going to say sorry for your loss, but it's not a loss. Ben is with Jesus. He's waiting for the time that you and him can see each other again. You know, there'll be things that you've still got left to do, and God's got his hand on you, and I just wanted you to know, sister, that you are not alone. I'm sitting here praying for you, loving on you, loving you. Ben is up in heaven with my mom, Jackie, and all the people that I love are up there shining their faces down on us and hoping the best for us until we can come up and see them again. And I pray, Valerie, that you can find it in your heart to just know that you're not alone. That's the one thing I just want to impart from you, to you. We're all here. We're all your family. We're all in the background. We're all feeling what you're feeling for you. I love you, and I just want you to know you're not alone. Just know that you're loved. Have a blessed
day. Hello to my dad family. This is yours truly, Deborah, from the East Coast. And I would like for you all to pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you on this day to present to you my son, Corey. I came to this line last year asking for prayer for him. He served in the military, Father God. You know that he did. You know that he has PTSD. And you know that things are different for him now. Right now he's in the hospital praying for his healing. And Father God, I pray that you will continue to touch his mind, give him the help that he needs, place people in his life that he needs. And Father God, we pray that you will continue to be there for him, be there for us as well. And Father God, I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus.
Hello, Brian and Deb family. This is Rev P. Dog. I am a former pastor and lifelong servant of Jesus. For the last 5 years, I've been dealing with 4 different types of cancer. The first was diagnosed in June of 2021 as stage 4 multiple myeloma bone marrow cancer, which was miraculously lifted from my body and baffled my first 5 specialist teams. Though they wouldn't call it a miracle, I did get them to write it down as a quote-unquote freaky miracle, as if freaky negates miracle in some way. But God touched my life. But from then on, I've dealt with a myriad of sicknesses and cancers, 4 cancers in total. And every part of my body, from the balls of my feet to the very top of my head, every organ, every system, skin, everything has been attacked in one way or another. So many ways I've lived the life of Job. In 2023, I had to step down from full-time ministry after pastoring our church for 21 years, which was the most difficult thing that I've ever had to do. I did just recently get a praise report from my oncologist team that the 4th type of cancer is now in full remission. However, my body has not caught up with that great report. So I'm praying and I'm asking you today for prayer. I need a total rearrangement in my life, my physical body, spiritual walk, relationships, the whole myriad of things. And I would appreciate your prayers and restoration.
Hi, Dad family. This is Kristen, a.k.a. Christ in Me. I am calling in in response to Valerie's request. Sister, I just want you to know, unfortunately, there's several of us that understand the grief of losing a child. But we do also understand that there is light at the end of that tunnel. And that grief is a season. And at times it doesn't feel like we're going to get past that season. But the Lord has afforded that. And I just want to pray for you. Father God, we just lift up our sister Valerie. Lord, you would just send forth your Holy Spirit to just give her comfort and peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. We just ask that you would just wrap her up in your wings. And just give her that hug that she's needing. and know that one day she will be with her sweet child again in heaven. But in the meantime, Lord, just let her know that we care and that we love her, and that we are praying for her, those of us that understand grief especially. And we just pray in your mighty, matchless name, Lord Jesus. Amen.